So, Hare Krishna. Do you notice how the atmosphere really is it's almost like Vrindavan Dham is in such a is in a festival mood, and the festival is coming to its peak. It's actually many good devotees have tried their best to satisfy Srimati Radhika, the Kartika Devi, and offered her, from their heart, their devotions and their devotional efforts. I really feel that now Radharani is very pleased, because the Purnahuti, that is the final conclusion of all these offerings, is coming when she will meet Krishna in the Rasa Leela, which according to some is in this night, because technically speaking Purnima is from started 9 o'clock in the morning and goes up to 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock the next morning. So it's this night which is the night of the nights, where Krishna, where Radharani meets Krishna in the intimate circle of only those gopis who are belonging to her side. So many devotees have offered Radharani their services, and she is doubly pleased. She is pleased with the devotees who have offered their services. I hope you were amongst them and you were not distracted by so many conditioned activities. She's pleased with that offering of the devotees, and she is pleased also because she meets Krishna in the Ras Leela tonight. So it's very festive. And you can see how everything in Vrindavan. Have you seen how nice the atmosphere is, even in terms of weather? It's so clear, the sky is so blue, Giriraj is just sparkling like a diamond. Have you noticed this today? And today you just, I noticed it's almost a miracle. Everything is extremely easy in my Vrata and goes very well. I get as if I don't have a material mind, which I have, unfortunately. It's a very big obstacle in my devotional service, but it's just so nice. Everything is going so well. It's just so today we will have a very interesting text. Very interesting. I really hope I can do it justice. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam. Sadvetang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitangsha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sudhi Devi Panamami Hari Priye He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namosute Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaubhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sakyena Lampana Maruchira Narma Bhavena Radham Pakatam Ya Brajapati Mahishya Gaya Sannayanti Premna Shashvat Padi Padi Harevataya Tarapayanti Tushyatvetam Paramiha Bhaje Kunda Purvam Latam Tam. Raghunath Das Goswami is praying in this text. I request all of you to den habe ich an. Ein verrückter Mensch. Sorry. Bitte. Hab ich dich total. Dann kann man ihn auch nicht finden. I'm sorry. I request you to zero in or to concentrate on Raghunath Das Goswami's position before he left his old place, his hometown. He was, by normal calculation, the son of one of the richest families in India. And became the emblem, the personification of renunciation. So please think for a moment, what could have motivated him to give up the comforts of a palatial buildings, of having cooks who took care of all his eating, and even he was married to a very beautiful lady from a pious background, and yet he left all that behind. He became so poor that he had to maintain his life by begging, and eventually he thought to renounce even the normal standard fare of a beggar, you know, one hermit beggar, one meal a day. Well, they eat, this as kids eat one day, one meal a day. Because the whole morning you must know they don't want to interrupt with eating and then afterwards feeling tired. They just start the bhajan already at 2 o'clock and then they go up to 2 o'clock in the noon time. 2 or 12, 12 or 1, like this, noon time. And then they do what is called the noon duties. Don't wish to explain what is that in detail. And then they go begging for their meal. It's called Madhukari. Yeah, what made him give this up? It's a certain concept which only we Vaishnavas have, which is not there in other spiritual schools. It's the concept of rasa, a taste which is so much higher and which is born from a relationship with Krishna. So now, as he is tasting this rasa, it means the taste from a relationship with the Lord, he wants us as ordinary conditioned souls to relish that also. And in order to do that, he introduces to us the associates of Krishna and what they do in relationship to Radha and Krishna, not just Krishna, Radha and Krishna. You understand this, why he writes this book? He wants us to get an understanding of what is rasa, bhakti rasa, by describing to us what he relishes. He sees this wonderful rasa, and it's a very interesting in the bhakti tradition. You relish through the eyes of others. That is, by hearing how Krishna, Radha and Krishna relate, and how devotees relate to them, you already experience a certain bhakti rasa. It's the beginning of it. So we will now hear that about Kundalata. I worship Kundalata. Who? By the order of Nanda's queen Yashoda, daily brings Sri Radha to the house of Sri Nanda for cooking. Daily Kundalata comes to Yavat, knocks at the door, and brings Radharani to Nandishwara. She gives immense pleasure to Sri Radha by discussing topics of Krishna with her on the way. She feels great satisfaction because of her intense love for the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So Rupa Goswami writes that there are certain gopis who have certain services, and Vrinda Devi, who was the subject matter of our of yesterday evening, and Kundalata assist Srimati Radharani during her pastimes in the forest. Whereas there are gopis like Danishta Gunamala and others who are there with Radharani in the house of Nanda Maharaj. But Kundalata is just, she comes to Yavat, comes on the door, takes Radha and brings her to Nandishwara. It's here in this forest area where her service is. She entertains Radha with Krishna. And we will see a little bit how she does this. So let us understand it a little bit. Radhika once received a boon from Durvasa that she would become Amrita Hasta. That means her hands would, whatever her hands would touch, turn into nectar. Food. The food which Radharani cooks tastes delicious, is extremely healthy, and prolongs the life for certain. I was thinking today, Rangini had to really go deep into her service meditation because she didn't really know what to cook in the morning, but then she received the best presentation in her mind and cooked that. And also at the noontime there was nothing available on the market because today is it's an ocean of a river of bliss floating around Giriraj. You know, all these wonderful devotees are completing their vratas and so on. It's very good. So everything was sold already. So but what Rangini cooked tasted also delicious and bestowed appetite on the eater, and I think it has expanded my lifetime greatly. So Yashoda knows of this boon which Radharani has. She's like the topmost this cook which is available, you know, and therefore since Radharani every morning to the house of her in-laws in Yavat and Yashoda sends Kundalata and Kundalata then goes to Radharani. And when Radharani sees Kundalata, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this. He says, "Oh, by Brajeshwari's grace," Brajeshwari is another name of Yashoda, it means the queen of Braj, "by Brajeshwari's grace, you have quickly come here. Your arrival is as indescribably beautiful as the moonrise in the east at nightfall." To see the poesy, when the night comes over the not normal land, everything becomes dark and you are confused. You don't know where to move, left, right, straight, no idea. But when at that time the moon rises, it is extremely inspiring. Today, when coming to this house, we just looked at the moon and we felt hesitant to enter this house where we can't see the moon. It's just so beautiful. Have you seen the moon? Radharani wants to express, I'm staying in this dark night of my life here in this house of Yatila, separated from Krishna, and you have come like the moonrise to spread auspiciousness. Yashoda must have sent you. If you would not have come now, and I would not have obtained this order to cook for Krishna, my mind would have been so sad that it would have been better for me to leave my body. But now you have come and saved me from this terrible agony. And please go to Jatila and please her so that she lets me go. Kundalata says, it's already arranged. Yatila, in fact, wishes that you go to Nandishwara because she has heard if she sends you, that will to Yashoda, who increases the fame of if you do the seva of cooking for Krishna, her son's wealth of cows will increase, and more cows will come. So it's good for the farmer's business if she comes. So it's already agreed. So Yatila then, who loves Radha dearly, you know, says, "Oh, go now, my daughter, but keep your veil all the time on your head, so that no one will see you while you walk down the road. You are a high-born girl. Indeed, your dynasty and your customs are not lowly. You are full of great qualities. But remember, stay in between the other girls and understand your duties as a chaste wife of my son." So Yatila lets Radha go. So the moment they are out in Braj, they leave Yavat, the gopis behave very freely. Their veil goes down and they laugh and they joke. And before then, Radha was very submissive, but now they are amongst girls. When the girls are amongst girls, they talk very happily. They point out different beautiful trees and flowering creepers and bushes which adorn the landscape of Nandishwara. I think, you know, when we go to Vasundhara, sometimes we stop and say, "Have you smelled the Champaka? Have you smelled the Malati?" You know, so the gopis go like this and they point out the different nice trees: jackfruit, mango, betel, arjuna, guvaka, coconut trees, asana, palasha, banyan, pakati, kanira, bilva. It's a huge list. And also the tulasi flowers. They just Tonga Vidya says to Radha, "Just see these beautiful lakes here. Can you see that? This clear water, and there are lotuses and cranes and herons and different white birds. I think that we can still see in Braj when you go by car. Have you noticed how many nice birds are in the lakes when you go by car? When you go to Vasana, there are certain lakes, and you can, or when you drive, it's always there are lakes and waters, and so it's so populated with birds." So they point out. Then they approach Nandishwara. In Nandishwara, they hear a big sound from Nandishwara. This is Krishna's town. The mooing of the cows they hear. The shouting of cowherd men, "Come here, milk this cow, take this bucket," you know, like this. But then they hear also, amongst all these sounds, the sounds of singers and bards praising Krishna. I was today thinking of this. I was chanting early in the morning, and then all of a sudden I hear a nasty voice. That is the voice which I fear most in Braj. And I said, "Oh no, it can't be here." So what I hear is this very hard voice of Sita Painbaum, Sita Painbaum, Sita Painbaum. It follows you in your dreams, you know. have you seen? It's a cream which they try to sell, you know. you have heard the sound also. It really doesn't fit to the overall atmosphere of Vrindavan. It's that one, you know, it's But maybe it fits in another way. It's like Yatila fits also here, you know. Hare Krishna. And then we love Raghunath Das Goswami describes this Nandishvara, which is full of the voices of bards and singers who are heard in the, amongst the mooing of the cows and so on. They hear. He says Nandishvara is dearer to Damodar than even Govardhan Hill, which is worshipped by all the Brajvasis. I really don't know what to do with that, how to interpret this verse. I think it is written from a certain perspective, but what I know is that Govardhan Hill is Govardhan Hill, is the Tilak, the highest part. But Nandishvara, there is this, and I want to ask some Brajbasis how they see it. Of course, the Nandishvara Wallas will say this is the highest, and someone who's neither from Govardhan and not from Nandishvara. I have heard sometimes also that Nandishvara is extremely dear to Krishna, but I can't imagine that anything is dearer than the Govardhan Hill, because it's here where Krishna meets Radha so very frequently, although there are meetings in Nandishvara also. And Govardhan area includes the Radha Kund and Syam Kund. So then Tungavidya says, O Radha, you have come a long way from Yavat and are almost at Nanda's palace. Have faith that the cherished desire of your Chatakam bird eyes will soon be realized. The Chataka bird always flies to the dark rain cloud. So the Chataka eyes will soon reach their destination. When Radharani only heard the mention of Krishna from Tungavidya, that soon you will see Krishna, at that time Radha began to tremble and momentarily lose consciousness. And it was compassionate Kundalata who walked next to him and was holding Radha. And who brought him back by saying, O Sumukhi, beautiful faced one. Without even seeing Krishna Chandra, you have become so disturbed. Today, and then she starts to joke. She's always joking, which Parsi culture means joking. Today I have truly understood your chastity to your husband, and all your friends here can be a witness. So, and then there are different jokes which are very confidential, and I don't wish to repeat them in a public assembly. Public assembly means by internet, it's all over the world there. The Kundalata very freely jokes with Radharani about different pastimes she has, Radha has with Krishna, and they really talk like anything until something very, very important happens. You know, they move. And have you seen the girls of Braj moving? They talk very freely and they laugh. And they always, what I've noticed is they gesticulate so nicely. You know, if you if as a man you pass the girls of Vrindavan, you always should look to the floor or look straight so that they feel that you are not intruding into their lives. But then sometimes you can look at it, you're so animated. So all of a sudden Kundalata points out, look, your lover Krishna is there in a threefold bending form. This form is, and then she starts again joking, this form is threefold bending because he can't bear to carry all the sweetness. So you have a form. It's like someone who has a weight which is too heavy, you know, like he goes. So Krishna is threefold according to Kunda Lata because he's too heavy with sweetness. Even the bees have gone crazy from smelling the aroma of his swinging flower garland. And then he says, and look at these earrings. It must be that Krishna's restless eyes have become the dancing teachers of the earrings, so that they also move around restlessly. The waves of luster from Krishna's golden cloth is fluttering in the gentle breeze. You know, the cloth is fluttering and makes a lot of luster. And his dark blue body spreads ecstasy in all directions. And look, your enchanting lover has rested his left arm, which is much more powerful than the trunk of an elephant, on the shoulder of his dear friend Subal. And in his right arm, and he whirls a lotus flower. So this is what they see as they approach the gate of Nandishvara. Krishna, as if by chance, and as if not knowing that Radha would come that way, he just stationed himself strategically there. He leans on Subal's shoulder, just very relaxed, and whirls with a lotus. Now, Radha hears these words of Kundalata and sees, of course, Krishna's form with his own eyes and becomes stunned. She can't move. She's again almost fainting. At that time, the best of the breezes comes and brings the fragrance of the familiar fragrance of Damodar's handsome form to Radha's nostril and reawakens her to full consciousness. Radha is, you know, her cloth becomes sprinkled by tears. Her whole body is covered with goosebumps of joy. But she says to Kundalata, "Hey, Saki, is there no other way into Nandishvara? I can't pass by that gate." At this moment, my feet cannot move another inch. What can I do? Lalita says that, "Don't be afraid, Radha, because you are always so extremely obedient to your superiors. You have their blessings, and you will able to navigate through this difficulty, you know. Do not be shy or afraid. So Radharani then moves very slowly in the direction of Krishna. And it is so nicely described here. It's really so nicely described in this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how also Krishna feels so much wonderment and astonishment when he sees his Radha. In great wonderment, the two lovers exchanged glances. A powerful wave of sweetness arose from Radha Madhava's divine bodies to inundate all the Sakis. You must know that there in Goloka Vrindavan, this sweetness of the meeting of Radha Madhava, you know, is somehow not only felt by the two lovers themselves, but it spreads on those who are nearby and drowns them in an ocean of bliss. It's very different from this world. Of course, in certain meetings, some meetings are more public, and others are more private. Still others are more private, and still others are most private. But whoever is there on whatever ring, so to say, of the meeting, is it an outer ring? That means a more public, or is it a more private ring? Is just overwhelmed with the sweetness. Even eloquence personified. Eloquence is to be eloquent means to be able to talk very nicely. Could not describe the astonishing scene. How amazing! Moon-faced Radha, with intense longing, drank the nectar beams of beauty from the Chakora bird Krishna. Moreover, the Chataki bird Radha showered the dark cloud Krishna with drops of erotic rasa. Now we get now into the very high form. This is reverse poetry. It's used also by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. That means an analogy is quoted in an unusual way to make the reader totally astonished. But if we now get into this, I'm also not so fit to explain this. It will take some time. So somehow the gopis take their veils in their left hands and cover themselves and successfully pass by Krishna. And Krishna was totally amazed by this love of Radha and the Sakis, just turns around and looks at them from behind. And when they have past Krishna, they dare to put the veils a little bit higher, so it's no longer so completely covered, but they go like, jump, they totally shut the dashan. I was laughing, yes. A few days ago I visited Ramesh Baba, and the moment he had finished his lecture, they had a tent, and they just closed the tent, zoop, like the shop is closed. It looked so, it was so funny. I almost cracked up in laughter. He was finished and zip, he was closed. Hare Krishna, so Braj like, you know. So because they wanted him to have a private time in his tent. So very nice. They take care of this. I want to say it's very nice, but you can see that gopis, when they see Krishna, they totally close. Yeah. So this is Kundalata's service. She brings Radha every morning from Yavat to Nandishvara, that is the town where Radha will cook for Krishna. I wanted to end today's presentation by talking about something which will bring us to do one day, hopefully, into the presence of Radha and Krishna. For me in Vrindavan, as a practicing devotee, the goal is important, but more important for me becomes always the way. And as I focus my attention on the way to reach the goal, I notice that the goal comes very close. It's something which I don't know if I will ever be successful to make this understandable to devotees who are younger and so on. See, there are statements in the Holy Scriptures which say that if someone only chants one name of Krishna, he will meet Krishna face to face. And the way this verse, this statement can be understood is, if you see one cloud and the cloud is allowed to form more cloud around itself, that at the end there will be a rainstorm which will be so powerful that even whole villages will be swept away. I noticed that you play with your foot. It has maybe fallen asleep and there's a need it has fallen. Maybe you want to stand up and, because if one does it right in the face of someone else, it goes, oops, what is it? So it's when one wants to concentrate at someone, plays with a foot in the face, that's a little difficult. So this happens, that the one name will grow like a mountain formation, not a mountain, a cloud formation, and it will eventually bring a rain shower with it, torrents of the flood of love of God. It will happen if the growth which takes place from this name or from this chanting is not obstructed. I don't know if I'm clear. There is a small cloud and it attracts more clouds, and eventually you can say there will be a monsoon after some time if that process is not stopped. So if you can chant one name properly, eventually as you continue, it will grow up so that there is a monsoon shower of love. This is how the holy name works. But there is something which stops the growth of this chanting. You know, Prabhupada always, he was asked, what is the result of chanting? And he said in his very direct way, more chanting. If you enter, in other words, the proper chanting, you will not escape more chanting. It will come naturally, provided and only provided that this natural growth which happens when you are in contact with the spiritual energy is not interrupted. Now there is one thing which interrupts the spiritual growth when chanting, and I think you are aware of it. It's aparadha. It's offenses. Most important offenses against devotees. They have the biggest stopping power of the natural growth of the chanting into the rain flood of love. And the reason why this is so is when you commit an aparad, at that time the holy name will become displeased with you and take away your shraddha. You don't have faith. And when you chant without faith, that this is the prime process of bhakti, it's the main form of bhakti from which all the other forms come, shravanam, and smaranam, and padasevanam, and all the other angas. If you this, you can only understand if your faith has become from small to big. You know, otherwise, it's not. But the moment you commit offenses while you chant, that faith which would be necessary for the full manifestation of the holy name is taken back by the holy name. You don't have any faith any longer in the chanting. Maybe you see this in your own life, that your faith in the holy name is middle, or the faith is less. That happens when we commit offenses against the name, and the name just takes that faith away from us. But if we have that faith, that shraddha, which comes just simply, then it will just grow, the chanting, and we will chant more and more, and we will just not, it's not even an effort, because you the holy name is pleased with you, and it has grown into a full manifestation. So this shraddha means the faith that when I do this Krishna bhakti in the form of chanting, then all other duties have been done and have been performed. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens when the goddess Shraddha comes into your heart? This is a good question. Huh? The learned author of Nam Chintamani says, at the time when Shraddha comes, you just don't want any longer these material desires. You just naturally don't want them. They go away. These desires which come from I and mine. One desires really, when Shraddha comes, to free oneself totally from the ropes of illusion and fully surrender to Krishna. This is very important. Are you sometimes also afraid to surrender to Krishna? Oh, you think, but what will happen? I'm not going off if I surrender, my God surrenders. The worst thing I can do, especially for the Western person, surrender. Not do what I want. Oh, no, I mean, my God, not in spiritual life, please. Especially in spiritual life, I want to do what I want. You know, it's very difficult for us Westerners to really make ourselves comfortable with the idea of Sharanagati. And you know, it's very rare also to find surrendered souls. You know, it's very rare to find. It's very common to find souls with I and my identification, I and my interest, you know. But when you are full of Shraddha, you just think, let me become free from this I and mine. I just don't want any I and mine. Because if I and mine are there, Krishna is far away. You just feel, I just don't want this I and mine. Oh, Krishna. When you have Shraddha, then you want to surrender. If you have not enough Shraddha, you think, well, what will happen? I will suffer like a dog, you know, when I surrender. No one will take care of me. I have seen that in my life, you know. I have to make my arrangements. It's very common, this fear of surrender, even amongst old-timers in devotional service. It's a very... Because the Shraddha is not high enough. All the other things are taken care of when I surrender. And it's not easy to have that type of Shraddha, because this is a total transcendental Shraddha, you know, that by surrendering to Krishna. I mean, I take now big words in my mouth, but I can tell you, I'm very, very much thinking about these things, and I'm very sad that my surrender is not where I want to have it. You know, it's not that I'm saying I think I know better than anyone, but this is so good. When you chant, and there's a little Shraddha in the holy name, you chant with Shraddha, then you just have no desire for offenses. When you have faith in Krishna, you are well taken care of, and you don't criticize anyone, and then the cloud will gain momentum and will become stronger and will become a monsoon cloud bank in your life. No, we said that this growth is dependent on Shraddha in the holy name, but it can be stopped by aparad. And the greatest offense is the offense against devotees. Now it is very difficult to really know who is a devotee, because a devotee often has all his treasures internally there. You can't see it outside. A real devotee will never run around in the world and say, I'm this, I'm that, and so on. It's just totally against the nature of devotion. So therefore, it is said, better you don't criticize anyone. If you criticize a non-devotee, it's not an offense. It's not an aparad. Only criticizing becomes an aparad when you do it against the devotee. When you criticize people, then it's just a fault, a character fault. You know, not normal. You know. So it is best to stop this criticizing tendency entirely, because you never know that maybe someone looks like a non-devotee, but he has Shraddha in his heart as an internal thing, you know. So therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, this is now a verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, which Ananda Chaitanya has dictated to me today. Gauranga Mahaprabhu lifts his arm in the sky and he tells the world, everyone, say the name of Krishna without criticizing. Truly, 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 I'm telling you, one who does not criticize and just once says Krishna is easily saved by me. Because just by this not criticizing anyone, and which would be a fault, and therefore you don't hit also a devotee, you know, who shredded his heart. What will happen when you chant the holy name? The holy name is pleased and gives you faith. And when you have more and more faith, you can take the holy name more and more. You don't think, oh, this is there are more important sadhanas for me. I will just remember Krishna. I will chant some internal mantras, and I will remember the pastimes of Krishna. That's also good. It looks more chic in the Vaishnava world, and so on. And so you just don't have that shraddha that the holy name is Krishna himself, and he will grow in you. He will make his presence more strong. And so try, my recommendation to you is, I want you to do a little exercise while you're in Vrindavan. I'm sorry that you came to this class. Now you have to do an exercise. I'm joking. I know you like these things. Just try to not criticize anyone. Anyone means not even the dog or the rickshaw wala, or especially not someone's other spiritual practice. Just don't criticize. Just say it's I want the goddess of Shraddha to come in my heart, and for that big end, I can stop my criticizing mind. It's not a problem. I have such a higher aim, and the holy name is pleased if I don't criticize the Vaishnavas. And here in Vrindavan, I don't know if there's any non-devotee in Vrindavan. Some devotion is with everyone here, even if they don't want it. It comes into the heart. They breathe it in the atmosphere. So just don't criticize anyone, and take the name of Krishna, and you would maybe see how your shraddha will grow in the name of the, and then you can chant with surrender to the holy name, and you don't feel restless and want to go here, there, and everywhere following your mind. But you can just try this. I'm very inspired because I have a very critical mind, very critical. I have read so much, and therefore it's always, and just not criticize anyone, especially not Vaishnavas. Just as an experiment, and then take the name, and that's what we hear is your shraddha grows when the holy name is pleased. He gives you the shraddha which you need. Once, before Mahaprabhu left this planet, one Krishna Das came to him and said, I see some devotees make advancement by chanting and others not. What is the reason? And Mahaprabhu did not say, some make offenses, others not. He said, those who chant with Shraddha make progress. It's all a question of Shraddha. And once you have Shraddha, there is this verse in the Gita, Shraddha Maya Yang Purusha. The Purush means the living entity is made out of Shraddha. It's the stuff of which you're made, you know. You always place your Shraddha in something. So good. So having said this, let us put the emphasis on the holy name, as the Angi is the body of bhakti, on which the other limbs of bhakti are in this Kali Yuga, and that will, Krishna can only be gotten by bhakti. Without bhakti, Krishna cannot be gotten. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Shri Braj Vilas Dava ki jai. Gopi Kundalata ki jai. Shri Mati Radharani ki jai. Shri Kartik Masa ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bo. Radhe, Radhe.